Welcome back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. Well, to give you an idea, flavor of the divisions in the House of Representatives, Adam Schiff, our guy from California, just an excellent congressman. When Dianne Feinstein steps down, and I hope she does it sooner rather than later, she's losing her marbles, just like Grassley of Iowa. We need some new blood in there. Adam Schiff is being prominently mentioned as somebody to run for the Senate to replace her. I think that would be great. He's excellent. He's the guy that headed up the impeachment, first impeachment, and he is the most articulate member of the House on a lot of these issues. He said the other day that Kevin McCarthy, the minority leader who will hope to be the speaker if they take over, the Republicans take over the House in 2022. He said, quote, McCarthy is an insurrectionist in a suit and a tie. McCarthy is an insurrectionist in a suit and a tie. Well, that's true. He is. Now, McCarthy is more of a chameleon. McCarthy, remember, on the day of the insurrection, called Trump and said, you got to stop this. And Trump said, well, Kevin, they apparently like their country more than you do or whatever. And then McCarthy, right after the insurrection, so did Moscow Mitch, took a shot at Trump, said, well, the age of Trump is over and whatever. And then McCarthy chickened out, put his finger in the wind, and he saw the polls that said that Trump was still popular in the Republican Party. And now he's gone full frontal Trump. He went down to Mar-a-Lago to kneel in front of Trump and beg his forgiveness. So, I'm serious. This guy is a sick cookie, very, very sick cookie. For him to be Speaker of the House, which is a very august position, it goes obviously way back in American history, is a travesty. It's an absolute travesty. But don't write him off. In the financial reports that just came out, for the first 9 months of this year, McCarthy raised $57.8 million. In the last 3 months, he raised $14.7 million. And remember, this is even after an insurrection. This is even after all this anti-masking, anti-vaccine, COVID business out of them and all that. There are a lot of people out there who can contribute. And these were not all large donors. There were plenty of large donors, but there are some smaller donors, a lot of them. The point of the matter is that we are in a fight for the soul of this country and for our democracy. And McCarthy is sold out to the other side. Schiff is right. He's now an insurrectionist in suit and tie. He wasn't back in January. He was not back in January, but he was one of the 160 or so Republicans who voted against certifying the election. He did it. He had a choice. He could have been like Liz Cheney, the number three. He's the number one. Steve Scalise of Louisiana is the number two. The Republican Party in the House. He could have shown some courage like Liz Cheney and then voted to certify the election and simply said, this is ridiculous. But I don't think he would be the minority leader right now. And he knew it. He knew it. The rest of them are scared. So Schiff is right on the money. I'll tell you one other thing to keep in mind. If the Republicans take over in retaliation for the Democrats throwing Marjorie Taylor Greene off of all committees, they are going to throw some Democrats off of all committees. Now, Marjorie Taylor Greene had threatened, had suggested the killing of Nancy Pelosi, the killing of Hillary Clinton, and she never got prosecuted for that. Never got prosecuted for that. She should have been prosecuted for that. That's a felony. It's a felony. But she wasn't prosecuted. And so enough's enough. And so she said these things. She said all these crazy things about a space laser that was starting the fires, just racial things, anti-Semitic things. So everybody got together and said, no, she should not have a committee assignment. McCarthy privately begged Pelosi, said, all right, take her off the Commerce Committee, the big committees, but put her on some, you know, like the committee that studies economic dislocation or something. And Nancy wouldn't do it. Well, now McCarthy has said that he will throw some Democrats off of committees. So you can stand by if they get back in. They get back in as the majority party for some very rocky rocky roads ahead. But that is something, keep in mind the stakes that we're looking at coming up. Piece of good news out of New York. And there's a poll out of New York, but before we go to it, I'm going to go to the lines. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's on your mind today, Wisco Paul?
So, hey, good morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. So what do you think about the Virginia governor's races? Do you think that's going to be a bell ringer for 2022? Just your opinion on that, if you would, quick this morning. Thank you.
Sure. Yeah, and we got into that a little bit in the first hour, Paul, and here's the deal. The poll just came out. Now, Terry McAuliffe is our candidate. A guy named Glenn Youngkin, is a Republican candidate, hedge fund guy, doesn't know beans about running a state, somehow snuck his way into the nomination. And he's a crazy, crafty sort, you know. He doesn't come right out and say that the 2020 election was rigged and go into the big lie in public, but he has surrogates say it in private. So there's a state senator down there, a woman who's really bad news. And in private, his supporters will say stuff like that. And he's trying to play it both ways. Right now, the poll that just came out, Terry McAuliffe is ahead 50% to 47%, 3 points. And the election's coming up in, you know, less than a month, 3 points. The problem, Paul, is that the margin of error was like 3.5 points. So when you have a poll that's within the margin of error, there's no way of knowing unless you do some sort of average of all polls, and they have to be fairly contemporaneous, and there's nothing like that down there. Who knows? I mean, I will say this. I think that Terry McAuliffe was a heck of a governor. He's a very good governor. He could not succeed himself under Virginia law, so he had to sit out a term. Northrop got in, one of our guys, Democrat, good guy. He can't run for re-election. Now McAuliffe's running again. They have kind of serial incumbency down there. And this Youngkin is running. Now, it's important that McAuliffe win. Is it fatal if he doesn't? Fatal is a tough word. But it is absolutely some sort of predictor, possibly a very deep predictor of what happens in 2022. And right now it's very, very close. It's within the margin of error. But if you're going to be within the margin of error, I'd rather be the guy in the poll is 3 points ahead. Let's put it that way. The other thing, remember something. Richmond, Virginia was the capital of the Confederacy. That was a Republican state up to not too long ago. And what flipped it around, there are a lot of people around the D.C. area living in Virginia, federal employees, and also a lot of military families. All, you know, I was stationed in Little Creek, Virginia on a ship. And, you know, there are 5 Navy bases around there, Norfolk, Newport News, the air station. I mean, in the repair yard. And, there are a lot of people who come and go from all areas of the country and, dependents and families. So it's going to be a more cosmopolitan state. But stand by, Paul. 3 points, McAuliffe ahead. It's in the margin of error. In the margin of error. And if he wins, it's great news. Biden's strongly supported him. Let's see what happens. Going to a break. Lines are still open. 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.